So we'd like to go to the book of Luke once again, chapter 8. And we had, a few weeks ago, talking about where it said there was those that followed Jesus, says, and he healed them all. So we studied that and realized it wasn't the all, every one. It says all that followed him. And then it's wonderful to ask that question, who followed him? And you should always keep tracing. The honor and glory should never stop with us. So who followed him? Well, John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know, and they follow me. So his sheep follow him. Well, how did they get to be his sheep? The Father gave them to him. So the honor and glory goes to the Lord. So all that the Father gave to him, the sheep, they will follow him, and he will heal all of them. So we were studying on that, and then we were studying about this man living among the tombs. And we talked about that. And I'd like to talk about that again this morning, that he healed. And as we look at this man living among the tombs, living among the dead, this is a picture of the Lord's sheep and the Lord bringing them out of that. Now, this is not talking about the impartation of life, because he was alive, but he is living among the dead. So there's many things in this, and saw more things, and some things that brought to my attention about the position of this one. And so I'd like to look at this. So I said it's a picture of the Lord's sheep being called out. But let me say it this way. It's a picture of you, where you were, and that he called out. There's a different walk when we're called out. So there's a repentance, there's a change in the walk. So anyway, let's read this with this in mind, that it's a picture of God calling you, God calling his sheep out of this, and there is a different walk. There's healing, there's many, many things in it. So Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to read several verses here, verses 26 through 40. I hope it's not boring. I think it's very interesting. And I want you to constantly look, well, how does this, yeah, I can see myself in this. Okay, 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had demons or devils for a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For often it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bonds, and was driven of demon or devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would allow or suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them, or permitted them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the demons or devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gerasenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the boat and returned. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show what great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So again, a wonderful example of the Lord calling one of his sheep out. And again, I hope you can see yourself in this. We could ask questions, where would this man been if the Lord hadn't called him out? Still been out there among the dead, bringing fruit unto death. So, let's go back and we'll try to glean a little bit from this, and there's still so much more in this. 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils for a long time, and wore no clothing, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. So, this man had devils, or demons. And I'd like to demystify it just a little bit, maybe. And again, I certainly, there's more in here that I certainly don't see at this time. But he's possessed with devils. What do we think it was like? I know times past, you know, the way I would think of it, but what, he's possessed with devils. What was this? What was this like? What do you think? I'll be coming back to this, but if you have a page marker, you might put it there. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. As we think of demons and devils, what are they? Have horns and a red suit and a tail that's with a barbed end on it and a pitchfork in their hand. Is that the way we view demons? So here in verse 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, they're not apostles of Christ, but they transform themselves. They appear that way. So, these are false apostles. They don't appear that way to many, but that's what they are. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So, how is Satan viewed by most? all an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to the works. So here's some that would appear as ministers of righteousness, but they're ministers of Satan, demons, devils, if you will. So these false apostles, false witnesses, ministers of Satan, now they're going to appear as ministers of Christ. You can turn on your television about any time you want to, and you can see them. They look like respectable people and so forth, and on an earthly plane they may very well be. But messengers of Satan. I don't know what vision you get, messengers of Satan, but that's what it is. They appear as ministers of Christ. So it talks about them. So it said they're false apostles, deceitful workers. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, and let's go, we'll learn a little more about them back in verse 12. So these false apostles, deceitful workers, messengers of Satan, 10 and 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. So we don't want to keep company with them. Don't be unequally yoked with them. So they commend themselves. Well, how do they commend themselves? Certainly heard one on television this morning. I'll try not to go into it, but commending himself. It says, but they, these false apostles, these ministers of Satan, yes, they commend themselves. They'll tell you all about themselves, how good they are, how they took the first step, so forth and so on. But it says they commend themselves, says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So they commend themselves. How would you commend yourself? Well, so and so, you know, all these good things about them maybe. But as we look at it, these false apostles, ministers of Satan, commend themselves, but how do they do that? What scale do they use to commend themselves? They compare themselves among themselves. Well, I don't know, I'm not perfect, but I'll make it if he makes it. So is that the way we look at it? Is that the way we compare ourselves? Is that the way we see if we should commend ourselves or not? Verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even to you. And I don't want, this is not my lesson, but let me mention this. We don't compare ourselves among themselves. Well, I'm better than this one, or I'm better than that one, so I guess I'm okay. I'll commend myself. But it says we measure ourselves of the rule which God has distributed to us. So if we had a yardstick or something, we could measure. But this says the measure of the rule which God has distributed among us. What has God distributed among us? Is it a yardstick? Is it a 100-foot tape measure, 300-foot? What has he given a measure of the rule which God has distributed to us? It's his word. And we can spend a lot of time, we won't. But what does this rule say about us? Heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. From the top of the head to the soles of the feet, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. All of our righteousness are filthy rags. That's what you compare yourself with. And then, do you commend yourself? No, we don't commend ourselves then. We see ourselves. But this is what the false apostles, the ministers of Satan, which is a devil. And then in the 11th chapter there, we already read that, we'll go through it again. But anyway, so this, 11th chapter and verse 3. So again, we're looking at those false apostles that appear to be apostles of Christ, but yet they are messengers of devil. So verse 3 and 11. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity is in Christ. And it is. People ask me, well, how would murderers get to heaven? How would homosexuals get to heaven? How would babies get to heaven? How would this? And to me, the simplicity of Christ. If Christ died on the cross for the sins, they'd be in glory. If he didn't, they won't. That's the simplicity which is in Christ. Now, they want to separate you from that. You should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So they want to, in their ignorance, corrupt you from that. Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. But what does the world say? Well, you do this and you'll get saved. I heard recently someone, I got saved. Well, typically that's praying a certain prayer or believing or different things like that. But I remember I said something to some people one time, and I couldn't have backed it up at that time. But I was in the eighth grade, and it was on a Monday, and it was after school, was talking to some, and they said, well, so-and-so got saved last night. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, but if they're saved, they got saved before the foundation of the world, not last night. Now, David, I couldn't have backed it up with Scripture at that time, but I had heard and believed at that time. So we don't want to be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And verse 4 says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, if we preach another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So they preach another Jesus. They preach a Jesus that's a cheerleader. He wants everybody to be saved. But is everybody going to be saved? Well, no. So then what? He's a failure. But these are the ones that are false apostles, appear as ministers of Christ, but they are ministers of the devil. Ministers of Satan. So in our text, this one had a certain man who had demons or devils for a long time. And we'll read a little later this morning, if we get there, about this one. There was many. His name was Legion, for there was many. So this one says he was possessed with demons for a long time, and there's many of them. Again, I'd like to demystify that just a little bit. I knew a lady once, and I've known others since. It's been several years ago, and she was a shut-in. She had this really, really bad arthritis. She just was a shut-in. She couldn't do anything except watch television. And her watching television consisted of all these religious channels. There wasn't as many then. But she believed what every one of them was saying. So when one said, Jesus wants everybody to be saved, she believed it. When they would say, it's you get to heaven by your accepting, by your taking the first step. So one minister of Satan would say, Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Another minister of Satan would say, well, you're a free moral agent. It's up to you to get to heaven. Another might say, well, you take the first step. Another messenger of Satan might say, well, you keep the Mosaic law. And then another might say, well, we know you can't keep the law, but if you do the best you can. All these demons, ministers of Satan, on television, radio, different tracks that you pick up. So this man had demons for a long time. I had demons. I didn't understand. Certainly from hearing messengers of Satan possesses those demons. But again, this is a picture of the Lord's sheep. This is a picture of you and the Lord casting the demons out. Now, it can be instantaneous. It can be a process. So some of those demons want to hang on. Well, I still think you got to do the best you can do. So those demons still want to hang on. Or the one man that I really think back and how precious our fellowship was. But he said, you know, you'd like to think we have something to do with it. There's a demon still clicking there. Still possessed with the demon. So this man was possessed with many demons. And then it says, and wore no clothes. So we talked about that, I think, the last time, but I'd like to talk about it a little more. He wore no clothes, had no covering. What is our covering? What is our garment? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. But this man didn't have that, not this time. Had no covering. Had no raiment. You remember we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man and the thieves. And they took his garments. Didn't talk about taking his gold or silver or his shoes. They took his garments. And that's what the religious world would do. Jesus Christ and the simplicity lives in Christ. And the thieves will steal that away. They don't understand, but that's exactly what they're doing. You're going to get to heaven on the basis of what you do. They're taking away the covering of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. There's no importance on it. Job said, if I wash myself with snow and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me into this, and my own clothes shall tore me. Well, why is that in there? My own clothes shall abhor me. Why is that thrown in that mixture there? Okay. Of course, Job understood, but he's teaching us something there. If I wash myself with snow, if I wash my hands, make them never so clean, if I do these things, said, then my own clothes would whore me. Garment, covering. If it's something I think that I do, then see, that's my covering, and that will whore me. Isaiah 64, we're all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We need to understand that's our covering. All of our righteousness are filthy rags. So that is no covering. That doesn't cover us. That's no covering for our sin. And we'll talk maybe a little more about that a little later, if the Lord wills, and we get that far. But so our righteousness, that's no covering. The best we can do, that's no covering. We have one covering. And as we talked about before, where under the law of Moses, they were not to wear a garment mixed, blended with different materials. Jesus Christ is our covering, and don't mix it with anything. Your righteousness, you're taking the first step. If I wash myself, that's a mixed garment. Okay, so let's try to move in just a little bit farther here, maybe. Verse 29, and we'll probably maybe talk a little more about clothing and nakedness a little later as we get down in there, because we see him later with clothing, with garments. So in verse 27, it says, neither abode in any house. We'll see later he sends him back to his house, but this time wasn't abode in any house, but said, but in tombs. He was living, but he's living among the dead. He wasn't dead. He had a demon, which the Lord is going to cast out, but he was living among the dead. Do you think there's any fruit unto God there? No, no fruit unto God there. Something I hadn't read for a long time. Proverbs 21, I'm just going to read one verse there. Proverbs 21, and I think it was verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way. Now, what's the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. But Proverbs 21:16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So if we wander out of the way, out of the simplicities in Christ, and start looking at other things, we're bringing forth fruit unto death. So this one here, he wasn't dead, wasn't bringing forth fruit unto to God, but he wasn't dead, but he's living among the dead. Maybe I'll get ahead of myself. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. As I said, this is a picture of the Lord's sheep. This is a picture of you who were alive but yet living among the dead. And this is a beautiful picture of this, and I'm getting ahead of myself by reading this, but I want to bring the point out now so I won't forget. Ephesians chapter 5. And Well, go back to verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be unequally yoked with those that has these vain words. For you were once darkness. You were once out there living among the dead without light. You were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. No longer walk in that being corrupted from that simplicity that is in Christ, that you be deceived from that. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Those that would say, it's up to you to get yourself saved. Now, it's not saying that we don't try, try to witness to them. It's not saying that. But don't be partakers of that. Don't eat that food. Don't swallow that food. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, this man in our text, darkness among the dead, living among the tombs. Unfruitful works of darkness. We read in Romans chapter 6 and 7 that they wasn't bringing forth fruit unto God, but fruit unto death. It says, what fruit had you then? Those things which you're now ashamed. But it talks about the difference between bringing forth fruit unto God and fruit unto death. But now it says, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And later this man, we're not going to get to this morning, but he certainly did reprove it later. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret or in darkness. Boy, it really is. They'll tell you things again like Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Then that's a shame because they're making him a failure. I mean, what a shame. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever doth make manifest is light. Now, verse 14, 15 is what I wanted to get to. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So the one or less, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's living among the dead. Christ is going to be calling him out of that. And we see it right before our eyes, the different layers and levels of which he calls him out of that, and the before and the after, the fruit unto death and then the fruit unto life. He says, awake, thou that sleepest. Wasn't dead, but no fruit is asleep. Living among the dead. And it says, arise from the dead. And that's exactly what he did, this man living among the tombs. And in verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. There's a different walk. I know the world, they look at a different walk. Well, you don't cuss anymore, you don't smoke anymore, you don't steal anymore, you don't... What if you didn't do that to start with? Like Saul of Tarsus. Did he repent? Yes, he repented, but not from all that stuff, because he said touching righteousness within the law is blameless. But there is a different walk. Getting ahead, but in our text, well, we read the whole thing. Was there a different walk in this man's life? Yes, there's a different walk. Was he bringing forth fruit unto God at the end? Yes, bringing forth fruit unto God. Absolutely. In fact, it's wonderful what we see there. So, this one was living among the dead, living among the tombs. and no fruit unto God. And I'm not going to get as far as I wanted on this. So we see him in this condition. And let me read those first couple of verses again. And they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils for a long time. Devils, plural, as I look at it today. And wore no clothing, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs among the dead. And we're going to have to stop there, but let me just go ahead and read the after, verse 35. We see the difference. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the demons were departed. Now he's sitting. And Brother David mentioned that last Sunday. We had really good fellowship last Sunday. But he's sitting, he's resting. That word's not put in there just to fill space. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Place of worship. Now he's clothed. Do you think it's mixed garments? Oh no. No. And in his right mind. And they were afraid. So that's kind of the before and after. And I think we may just bring it up again tonight. So we see this one begin. I hope you can see. Maybe you'll read this today. We'll try to look at it again tonight. I hope you can see this is a picture of you, where you were and where the Lord has brought you. May the Lord bless the speaking of his word. We're dismissed.